How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Sick Podcast with your host, That Leafs Fan. I hope you guys are doing well. We have quite a few things to talk about. The Leafs 1 week breaks are over. We're going to get into that. But before, producer, roll the tape.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Sick Podcast. With That Leafs Fan.
They score! They score! Holy mackerel, they score! Morgan Rielly! Mo Rielly! The Leafs have won it! They're going to the second round! Do you believe this? Holy mackerel!
The sickest Toronto Maple Leafs podcast. It's gonna be sick.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you guys are doing well. We have... Honestly, I want to say you're becoming a regular here. You got Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Listen, I wouldn't count your eggs before they hatch because we play Boston on Saturday, and then we got another four-day break, and then we got Ottawa on Thursday.
I don't know what's going on with their schedule. It's completely all over the place. Honestly, this is the first episode in about 10 days, if I recall correctly, 9 or 10 days. There was just no games to talk about, and I didn't really feel like talking about the Hawks and Penguins game because, quite frankly, there wasn't much good to say.
I don't blame you. And I'm just looking ahead right now. It looks like it's going to pick up in December. We only have – well, we got that four-day break, but after that, it's like 1-1, back-to-back, 1-1-2, 1-1-3, 1 back-to-back. So it should be better.
So that, who knows? We might be pumping out episodes every single day. But I want to honestly, I'm not going to go dive too deep into the Hawks and Penguins game. I think that was just, I don't know if you want to call it like readjusting to schedule or whatever. The Leafs didn't really show up prepared to either of those. And to be fair, I think we were riding what it was a 4-game win streak and a 5-game point streak, if you want to call it. But we finally hit a little bit of a dead zone, lost two. The Hawks-Leafs game should have been 2 points, like, all day.
Listen, honestly, I think it should have been 2 points, but looking back on it, coming back from Sweden with a four-day break and then playing at 2 p.m., I'll take the fact that we took it to overtime. But, I mean, you let Jason Dickinson score a hat-trick on you. Next time, maybe don't do that.
You know how many amount of people were telling me, who's Jason Dickinson, and I was like, exactly. It's such a classic. But even the way the overtime goal went in, I was like, okay,
that was so annoying how that went in. I was just like, oh, that's how the game ends. Cool.
I didn't watch any highlights of that, so I don't even, like, it just popped up and then it just ended up in the net, and I was like, yep. After Nylander hit post, crossbar post on with one shot, I was like, yeah, no, we're not winning this
game. And that's how his streak ends, by the way.
Yeah.
By on a breakaway, he hits all three posts.
Yeah. And now, I hope he doesn't – I'm obviously going to make a joke about this, but he's on a 3-game no-point streak.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's – I'm not worried about that. But Penguins game on Saturday, back-to-back, first back-to-back of the season, if I recall, right? It was our first one.
I think I'll double check with you, but I'm pretty sure that sounds about it. No. Calgary, Vancouver. We won both of those.
Right. And a bit of a sleeper. I mean, they didn't play great. They didn't play awful, but I won't, like, again, it's a back-to-back after like a 2-week spread of having like a week break between games. So I mean,
like, you'll begrudgingly give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? It's like you're gonna lose games. This is the part of being a fan. Obviously, you wish every single fan is like, okay, let's go 82-0. Not gonna happen. You're gonna lose games, and I'd much rather they lose a game like that where at least it was after like. We picked up quite a few wins in a row and then a point, which again should have been 2, but is what it is. Yeah. We'll take it. It happens. And I thought yesterday was a hilarious situation. So, and I'm sure many Leaf fans I feel like might agree. I mean, if you agreed with me, I'm pretty sure there was many others too. The moment, now we're talking about the game that happened yesterday against the Panthers, the moment that Evan Rodriguez scored the shootout goal, I closed my TV. I was like, all right, we lost, got the point. Damn, but is what it is, hard-fought game. I go and look at my phone at, I think it was 12:30 in the morning, and I was just like checking. I think I went to go and like watch the end of the game of the Canucks and the Ducks. And then it says Leafs win 2-1 in a shootout. I'm like, it's the score app. They probably like messed that up because it's obviously like the Leafs lost that game. And then I click it and I was like, hold on a second. There's actually like full information of the shootout, and Evan Rodriguez didn't score and Noah Gregor did, which we'll get to. And the Leafs won. And I was like, well, that's a pleasant surprise. And now I can sleep a little better. We got the win. I wasn't that's expecting
wild.
It.
That was like that was a good chunk of time where you genuinely thought we lost. That was wild.
Dude,
for me, it was like 5 minutes I thought we lost.
No, for me, it was about like 3 hours. Like I was like long past, I'm like, okay, no, we lost to the Florida Panthers. And then yeah. I went to go and check even the first thing I saw was I go and check the standings and it says the Leafs have 11 wins. I'm like, I know for a fact before tonight we had 10. Mm-hmm. So I must be missing something here. Like, did I miss? That's one thing that like I look on like religiously is the record. And I'm like, I could have sworn we never had 11 wins before tonight and we didn't win tonight. So what am I missing here? And yeah, they just got the win. Overall, honestly, look, the first period was an atrocity. Everyone knows that.
I mean, everyone's used to it by now.
Right. But let's be real. In my opinion, Joseph Woll kept that a hockey game.
38 saves, 5 in the shootout.
What a player. Speaking about what a player, I love Noah Gregor. I'm going to give you the credit because you told this to me before the podcast. He is an Ilya Mikheyev who can score, which is why I think he's kind of like a mini Zach Hyman. He's like a Zach Hyman, like before he played with Matthews and Marner on the top line.
It's just nice to watch a player in blue and white have speed and actually have the ability to do something with that speed. That's not just make a button hook. Because we saw that with Kasperi Kapanen and Ilya Mikheyev. They would burst into the zone, and then they'd realize, I'm in over my head. And then they would just turn and wait for support. But Gregor will take it to the net. He'll do whatever he can to try and get the puck on net, and I love him for that.
What I love about him is that he's just a player who... First of all, I love having players who have to fight for their spot, because I find that's what... Some people crack under pressure, others like flourish, and he seems to have flourished onto this team. Like, no one was like, oh, Noah Gregor this year, okay, that's like a plug-in. And then like throughout the season, I'm like, okay, no, like this guy's got, he's got like bullets for skates. Yeah. And like, he doesn't have an incredible shot, but I mean, like he can shoot, and like he's just like an overall good, like great depth player. And he plays well under pressure, which to me is what I look at, because pressure comes in the playoffs. And I would love to have a guy like him, like a whole team filled of Noah Gregors. I mean, probably be better off.
In my mind, he's the perfect bottom six player. Yeah, like 100%. I was watching both teams' fourth lines last night, and they were actually the both best line for each team, which was kind of funny. Florida's fourth line has Ryan Lomberg, Kevin Stenlund, and
is it Cousins?
Someone else that I'm forgetting. It doesn't matter. Ryan? Maybe. Who knows? Our fourth line is Gregor, Camp, Reeves. I had to make my ideal fourth line, it would be Gregor, Stenlund, and Lomberg, because Ryan Lomberg is Ryan Reeves, who can actually do stuff with the puck. And Kevin Stenlund is a competitive center who maybe isn't the best defensively in comparison to Camp, but Camp hasn't been good defensively this year either, so he's really not doing much. So I'd rather have a fourth line that can score and is tough and competes and is fast than what we have currently.
Well, Stenlund has 6 goals on the year.
Exactly. Like, out of nowhere. And I feel like he always scores against the Leafs. It feels that way.
Yeah, I mean, everyone always scores against the Leafs. Jason Dickinson scored his like season worth of goals in like one game against us. But like overall, honestly, again, the first period was like really disappointing.
If you watched my post game, for whoever watched my post game and you noticed that I was mad, most of the anger came from that first period I've seen that first period about 10 times this season and I'm really starting to get sick of it. People don't understand that when you're a fan, you literally wake up on the day that they play and all you look forward to is just watching your team play.
Yep.
And it's so demoralizing when you sit there and puck drops and you're just watching your team sleepwalk while they get outshot 15-6 by the Florida Panthers. And you know they can do so much better and you know that they are going to do so much better. You just have to wait until the third period. If you had to guess which period the Leafs didn't get outshot in this game, it was the third. And it wasn't by much. It was 15-7 in the first, 14-13 in the second, 11-6 for the Leafs in the third, and then 4-1 for Florida in overtime.
I like the fact that I'm going to try to stay positive because I feel like I've been relatively harsh on the team, and I'm pretty sure
every episode we've recorded together, you have been definitely way more mad than I have.
And I feel like I don't regret any of that. Like I stand 100% by what I said
in the moment, and the way the team was playing validated the way you were feeling.
Well, like it's just like the Leafs. Like I feel like they can play bad for the first three games of the season, and like I have full right to go off on them because to me it's not just the first three games; it's the last 20 years. So like that's just how it is. Yeah. But I'm gonna like stick on more of a positive note for like the overall team. The way I look at the first period, we got away with it only down by one, and that was thanks to our goaltender Joseph Woll, which I like in a positive sense because I feel like our goaltending has been struggling this year. So it was like and not all the time, but like generally it's been struggling. So to see him put up a performance like that where like he covered up what should have honestly been like 3-0 Florida and the game being done, he kept us in it.
Underrated thing about the Leafs is when they start conceding less, right? The past few games, they've started to concede less, which is great. You know, maybe the defense is starting to pick up the slack or maybe the goaltending is getting better. You can't tell, really. I mean, you notice the defensive errors are still there, but also the goaltending is bailing them out. So maybe the goaltending got better and the defense is still the same. Genuinely, who knows?
I think it's that one.
It's probably that one because the defense still looks a little shaky to me, but I do recognize that they look a bit tighter.
It's taking – so the defense is taking steps in the right direction. They need to start, like, sprinting and taking a lot more steps, but they are taking steps.
It's tough now, right? Because, like, part of the reason why I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt for the game last night is majority of the game they were playing with five defensemen. Jared Daniels is going to miss some time now. So now you've got, like – I don't know. Lagesson comes back in, and now Lagesson Benoit is your bottom pair. Not sure if that's ideal. Benoit looked okay in overtime. Simon Benoit played in overtime. Riley's still looking like a Norris candidate if they cared about defensive play. The defense is taking steps, but it's hard to take steps when there's a bunch of rotation constantly throughout the season.
You don't even have to watch the game. You can look at roster construction. Everyone and their mom knows that Toronto's strength is offense. Toronto's weakness is defense. It's been that way for 7 years now. No matter who we plug in to whoever,
I would interject here because that was the way it was, but for a brief period, I think it was the bubble season and then the season after. If you looked at raw metrics, the Leafs were just better defensively than offensively. Like their numbers were better defensively than offensively. And it's just the way the team was constructed.
Yes, but that was also the offensive play. Like when I say defense,
it's easy to be good defensively when your team has the puck all the time.
Well, for one, absolutely. Yeah. But honestly, the way. Like what I'm trying to say is that metrics, no metrics or whatever it is, the team's strength is up front, the team's weakness is at the back, and it's been like that. Like, when I say weakness, it's like, compare us to like a solid defensive team, like say like Vegas or Boston, or, you know, like teams like that. Like, they have a real defense, not just like, oh, they're playing well and the stats look good. Like, no, they're actually good. And but the Leafs have that up front. And like, I feel, again, I'm going to try to stick like very like more on the positive side of things. The reason our defense is relatively weak is because our offense is so lethal, and it's normal. Like, I don't think there's many, I don't even think I can count on one hand teams that are the same, if not better, offensively when we're at our best. Like, Toronto's
when we're at our best. Yeah, like, there's not many. But when you've got all of Tavares, Marner, Matthews, and Nylander rolling, you're probably the best forward group in the league.
But and that's the thing, right? And it's like, that's the construction that the Leafs have. Do I agree with it all the time? Does Leafs Nation agree with it all the time? No, obviously not. But that's just the way it is right now. And I've come to terms with that. Until, at the very least, they ever decide to split up the core, that's the way it's going to be. You have so much money locked up front. You have, like, there's no matter what $1-2 million defenseman you try plugging in, that will always be the weakness. Like, if you really want to have a shift, you need to really trade a big piece to get a big piece. It's not about finding a needle in a haystack. Like, sure, they can be good, but it's like, you go and look at a team like Tampa Bay, the Leafs need to make a huge trade if we're to have players like Hedman, Sergachev. Like, you know, like, I can go down the list, and they have like four great defensive players. The Leafs have Riley, who's like an average top two, like an average top pair defenseman. He's not like the best. He's definitely not the worst.
He's like a low tier one, like one of the best
teams. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it's like, again, you said it yourself, like, we don't have that number one. And like, quite frankly, everyone's like, we should trade for Tanev and we should trade for these guys. Like, yeah, I agree. I don't think that that's going to change a whole lot because, again, the construction overall remains the same. And again, if that's how they're going to proceed, there's, the way I look at it is like, there's no point of breaking my head trying to like do the dubis of like, okay, if I have to do this and that and this and that and that. But it's like, at the end of the day, that's like the main component is there. So like, no matter how many pieces you change around the main component, at the end of the day, the driving factor still relies on the top four. And that's just the way it is till it isn't. And so
the Leafs gave $4.1 million to a guy who might not even play until February. So, I mean, roster construction wasn't the best defensively this year. That's on the GM, and that's on the GM to fix it, which I trust that he can do because he built a pretty good decor in Calgary. So we'll see what he can do, but the defense needs to change.
But like, coming back to yesterday's game, I thought overall, scrapping that first period, like, that was, it was garbage. We know it. Like, I can sit here and like, but like, we can like sit here and like go into it for as long as we live. There's, the way I look at it is like, okay, it happened. It is what it is. Now I'm going to try to do what I've been telling the Leafs to do. It's like, play in the now. Mm-hmm. It happened. It's done. Get over it. The game is still going. And that, to me, what I was happy about at least is that I felt that's what happened. I thought it was a pretty even second period, like, but we were starting to ramp it up, and Noah Gregor making a play out of nothing, getting it done. We missed a few, like, but the power, again, I won't even get into that because the power plays went both ways. We had a 4-minute penalty. They had a 4-minute penalty, penalties all over the place. And it was a physical game. It was a tight, it felt like a playoff game between.
Yeah, it was incredibly gutsy because Marner takes a puck to the chin. He needs stitches. I didn't expect him to come back. And here he is in the cage. He comes back. He's probably not feeling the best, but you know what? He's going to stick it out. And
he played well though.
Yeah. Credit to him. That takes a lot of guts to do that.
And like,
I don't think he played the best offensively, but I think he played with a ton of heart. And I really,
and that's all I care about. That's the only,
because Juuso Mikkola, or Mikko Mikkola, I don't know what his name is, but he knocked over a big defenseman, and I'll take that.
Did you? Oh, I forget who it was that he obliterated. Austin Matthews.
Oh yeah, in the boards in the middle. Like, that's when Austin's like, "Oh yeah, I'm 6'3", 205. I could probably do this."
I think he's more than 205. I think he's like
220. I think he's 220.
Yeah. And he's a
big boy.
He's like, sorry, champ. Bang. And I was like, wow, I want to see more of that. Because like that I've been trying to say this for so long. I really think if like when Matthews is at the peak, obviously his main component will always be goals. But like he's a big guy. He's not a Nylander sized player. Like he's like I'm trying to think of like a power forward that's like he's an Austin like Matthews. He's like he's a one of a kind
version of Tage Thompson. Because Tage is 6'7".
He's 6'7"?
Yeah, he's 6'7".
Wow. But
I'm pretty sure I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure he is.
He's 6'7"? Oh my god. I did not know that. Like I knew he was big. I didn't know he was that big.
Maybe I'm just spewing out of my buttocks here. He's 1.98 meters. So now you gotta convert that.
No, that's like 185 or something is like 6 feet flat, something like that. Or 187. Makes sense. It
is. Oh my god. Google, help me, please. 6'5", 6'6". So yeah, like 6'7" on skates. There you go.
He's pretty massive. But like Matthews, and what I liked about that hit, which showed me that I'm like, those moments to me show me like, okay, you care, you're into the game,
he's engaged. He could have just skated away from that, right?
And he's like, nope, you're coming through, and like, no, you're not, because I'm here, kind of thing. And that's that. And again, that's I thought it definitely wasn't the Leafs' best game, like by any means. Like it wasn't really close either. But I don't know why. Like for some reason, watching the game, I was like, it feels like a turning point, and like I felt pretty good about the game despite thinking we lost for like 3 hours and like till after the game ended, and I'm like, oh, we won. But like really it was like, go ahead. Yeah,
no continue your point, because I'm gonna transition.
Like I don't, the way I look at it, that's why like I was happy because we got the extra point, but like to me, like I don't care. To me, that was a tie. They just didn't have enough time to figure it out. But like no one lost that game. It was a tie, and like they played like an ODR shootout, and one team won and one team didn't. Like it doesn't, because like to me, like shootouts, I've gotten into it before. I'm not a fan of it, just because there's a reason it's not there in the playoffs, and it's because it's not hockey. So to me, like winning or losing in the shootout doesn't change anything, and it doesn't matter. So I looked at that as a tie, and I thought both teams just played a really good hockey game. And I was happy with the Leafs' performance. You know, like we kept it relatively tight. We didn't give up after the first period. We didn't give up like a whole lot. But the things we did give up, Joseph Woll was there. And we managed, I don't know. I just, for some reason,
both teams, it really felt like just a bunch of perimeter play. Like a lot of, you know, you can't get to the middle because we're defending it. Sometimes there'd be a casual error, and then when it was, Stolarz and Woll just made the save, and then you kept going perimeter play and grinding down at each other. But you really hope that they can build off of this, because they got Seattle Thursday, then they've got Boston on Saturday, then they've got Ottawa, and those are two divisional games. And I'll tell you what, if they can get six points, they could. There's a good chance the next time we record, they're first. Like that could happen. That's how close the Atlantic is right now.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's actually completely nuts. But
that's why I'm always so anal about getting these points against your division rivals, because
genuinely
you need them, especially if you can get them in regulation. I prefer that more, because then you're not giving up any points to any other teams. Also have five regulation wins.
But like I don't know. It's yesterday's game was probably the first time all season where I was like, I want to see more games like this. Like, obviously, like, I'm not saying the full entirety of the game, but I meant like the concept of the game where it's like we managed to scrape 2 points in a really like playoff feeling game. You know what I mean? And like against a good team, like the Panthers are a good team, and we managed to. Did we deserve to win that from start to finish? Probably not. But like, I thought we weren't like completely deserved.
We didn't get blown out of the water.
Sorry?
We didn't get blown out of the water. Like, it was relatively close.
I think whoever won that game, like, both teams deserved 2 points in that one. Like, I thought it was just, like, a well-fought game from, like, some, like, Panthers had a better first, Leafs had a better third, the second was even, so it was, like, a relatively 50-50 split overall, and I just love, like, those, I'd much rather watch that than watch, like, a 4-1 win, because to me, like, obviously, I'll take a 4-1 win, but, like, what I'm saying is that these are games that, like, you're gonna see in the playoff, and these are games you need to win. Like, it's not the game that you're up 5-1. Like, yeah, you should 100% win those every single night, not lose the 5-1 lead. Games that are 1-1 are games that are really going to decide a series. So, like, I want to see more games like this, and I want to see how the team reacts in a game like this. And I think there's things we can fix, but, like, overall, I enjoyed at the very least, like, what I saw. I thought it was one of, like, their best, like, gritty performances. Yeah. It wasn't their best performance, but, like, it was, I just liked that things weren't exactly going their way, but, like, they still dug in
they and found got a way to win.
Yeah, and that's what I really liked. Like, this is the thing that a lot of people who aren't Leaf fans, like, target Leaf fans are like, oh, you guys think your team's going to go 82-0 and win the Stanley Cup every year. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I want to watch a well-fought hockey game. I know we're going to lose games. I know I thought we lost yesterday. Like, my opinion didn't change. I am talking as though I thought the Leafs lost yesterday, and I would have still had the same opinion. I like games, like, where I just see, like, that fight, that heart, that, like, they want to win. That's all I want. I know we're not going to win every game. It's impossible. Even the Bruins, who, like, set the NHL record, lost, like, 10, 15 games last year. You're going to lose some. But these are the types of games I want to see, like, from this team, is that show me you give a shit. Because, like, I am finishing work, I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm, like, taking my time to watch this. Like, just show me you care. Don't show up flat-footed. That's the part that pisses me off. Whether you win or lose, like, there was games, I think, who was it against? Was it against the Wild or the Wings in Sweden? Like, let's not act like the Leafs,
both teams.
Like, but, like, let's not act that we didn't get caved in for 40 minutes. Like, sure, we won, but I didn't feel good about it. Like, it was nice, good moment, but I didn't feel good about the win because, like, we got caved in for 40 minutes. Whereas yesterday, we won a 2-1 game. Our divisional rival got a point out of it, and I feel way better about how yesterday went than I do about, like, many other games this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like,
I'd love to see more games like that, and add on to the fact that maybe you could score 2 power play goals out of 8 penalties.
Yeah, I don't know, the power play was rough.
Maybe your stars could show up for a bit of offense.
But you know what? Like, this is where, like, I'm not going to disagree with you, but, like, I'll give, like, a different perspective. The only thing we were praying for about 5 to 10 games ago was that the only people scoring was our top four. And now I think it was 9 straight goals from different players.
Yep.
Like, 9 different goal scorers. So it's like, I like that we're seeing both ends. Like, obviously, we're looking for the moment where both collide, like, where Matthews is, like, scoring all kinds and Nylander's scoring all kinds and Marner's setting up crazy plays and John Tavares is scoring power play goals. But, like, also, Noah Gregor's getting on the board. Tyler Bertuzzi's getting on the board. Oh, yeah. Max Domi's on the board. You know, like, I want to see, like, the team, because, like, even in the Stanley Cup finals and the conference finals and, like, whatever it is, it's never just the star player scoring the goals. It's, like, those goals from, like, the Chandler Stevensons and the Jason Dickinsons and the Kevin Stenlins. Those are huge goals.
I mean, like, most of the time, your Stanley Cup winning goal doesn't come from a member of the top six.
You know what? Because it's like, at that
everyone's
point,
everyone's got to score.
Right? Whoever puts the puck in the net, like, you're the GOAT. It doesn't matter who. Just do it.
End of the day, that's how you win hockey games. You put the puck in the net. Speaking of that, and Max Domi, let's play a little game here, Giuseppe. We're 20 games in. He's got 0 goals. Two things. One, how many goals do you think he finishes with on the season? Because I'll give him, like, 5.
I was going to say, like, 7.
Okay.
I think he'll go on a little bit of a streak.
What game number do you think he scores his first goal? Because we're at 20.
26.
I'll give him 33.
Wow. That's harsh.
And it's not as if he's playing bad. It's just I don't think he elects to shoot very often. I think he's just a straight playmaker.
Well, dude, he's been – I think he's been pretty good with the line of – it's him, Robertson, and Yarncroke.
I love Cal Yarncroke, man. I can see why
Sheldon loves him, too. They're like Robertson and Yarncroke. Like, honestly, I don't even care that Domi is not scoring goals because, to me, like, he has a role now. That's what I care about. Like, he's not useless. Like, that's what I care about. Like you
just finished saying, gotta put the puck in the net.
Yeah, and it's like whoever does it. But, like, if you're a part – like, if you finish the season with, like, 40 assists and zero goals, obviously there's going to be, like – you want him to maybe get on the board a bit, but it's like, are you going to overlook the 40 assists? Because if he was not the 40 goals, that don't happen. So,
like,
it's
you're like, not going to be like, oh, yeah, he had a bad season if he doesn't score a goal.
It's just going to be like an odd one, but like he's never been a goal scorer. He's always been a playmaker. So like to me, like I'm not worried about that. Like the goals, he's going to get like the random tap in goal or the random deflection or he'll shoot eventually, sometime. Yeah. But like, I'm not worried about that. To me, like I do when he has, like I like him a lot on the second power play unit. I feel he's kind of like starting to become a bit of the quarterback of that, which I like.
I'm not going to lie. I prefer watching our second power play unit more than our first.
Because there's no pressure on it.
It doesn't seem like there is, eh? It seems like they get to the zone faster, they get shots on net faster, and they're just better at generating rebounds. It seems as though the first unit has, seems like there's pressure to like generate this play that they've drawn up. They try so hard to force it, and it ends up just in a block pass, and then they clear the zone.
I think you just got to let star players play star hockey. I don't think there's... like, and again, is it ideal... to like the normal hockey coach, no, like they're different in that sense. Like there's just too much on that line, on that power play line. But like when this power play unit clicks, like they're scoring a power play goal in the first 12 seconds, like every time.
When the first power play unit is going, you can notice it because they're moving, man. Like you cannot follow them because their puck movement is on fleek. Like they confuse the penalty killer so much just because 1 second they're here, the next second I'm on the other boards. You can't follow
me. Mark my words. The moment Marner, and I think this game created that spark, the moment Marner is going to take off and it's coming, I'm calling it now on this November 29th. I'm telling you right now, Marner is about to go off. And to all Leaf fans and everything saying trade Marner, what are you talking about? You're not going to get fair return for it. That is completely stupid. Don't trade Marner. That's very, very dumb.
Leaf fans forget that he literally plays every situation for us.
Like, wait for Marner's going to go off and it's coming. I'm telling you all, don't say I didn't warn you because it's coming. Mm-hmm. And when he does, that power play unit is going to go... like compete for the best, and that's when the Leafs really pick up. Because I've said it for many years, and this is why I never want to trade Marner. He is like the heart of the team. When he's and notice yesterday, he was fighting through it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed when he started fighting through it from the second into the third. You notice like the overall team fighting through it.
Yeah, of course. I noticed immediately Marner threw a hit on Mikkola. You know who followed it up? Austin Matthews.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Mitch Marner is the heart of this team, I think. I can back that up with many different situations. I'm not going to get too into it, but my stance on that is I get it. You're frustrated. Marner is not having a bad season. He's just not at his best. He's over a point per game, if I'm not mistaken, or very close to it.
He's exactly point per game.
And he's playing like shit. Can you imagine? Like, point per... imagine...
That's how high his standards are.
But but he's the one who created that standard for him, which means if right now he's playing bad and he's a point per game, wait till he pops off because it's coming again. I feel it. It's been like... that's been the one guy on this team who hasn't popped off yet, and it's coming, and it's going to be the most beautiful thing to watch. Don't believe me. No problem. Wait for it. I told you so. It's happening. We've seen it before. and it's going to happen again. Mitch Marner has the capacity of being the best player on the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he's shown it before, and he's going to do it again at some point this season and shut everyone up, and I can't wait for it because I love Marner, and there's a reason I do, and I think that's going to happen, and we're going to have to wait and see. But that's...
He plays Boston on Saturday. He loves playing Boston.
Dude. If there's one player that I love watching when he's on fire, it's Mitch Marner.
Nobody in the league is more electric. Like, there's Connor McDavid. He's electric, of course. But when Mitch Marner is going and he's got his magic feet going, do you remember the goal against Vegas, man? Like, look at this. Look at this. Everyone knows where this is from. That goal against Vegas was genuinely fantastic. And it brought me out of my seat and I started yelling because when this player is going, he's so fun to watch. He's a happy-go-lucky puppy, and he's got so much skill that is not just about playmaking. He can make plays and score goals.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. But we're going to have to wait and see. Now we have a game tomorrow against the Kraken. Then we have Boston and the Senators, which are, in my opinion, way more important. I say, if there's a game to screw up, it's against the Kraken. Don't screw it up. Please find a way. Continue the momentum. We need the points. It's tight.
Can you just get a regulation win, please? Just for my sanity. Can I tune into a game? Can I watch a first period and be happy? Can you hold the lead instead of blowing it and then win the game? Like, just 2-0 lead, and then, you know, you lose 2-1. I'll genuinely be happy.
I don't know why I have this like feeling like I'm not worried about no disrespect to the Kraken. I think it's more that I don't know. I just felt really good about yesterday's game. I don't know what it is, and like it might just be a feeling, but I think that that this thing is gonna start now.
My pessimism is coming from that I've seen this game in this season before where I thought they would build off of it and then they didn't. So I'm a little bit more hesitant here, but I can see what you're seeing. I do genuinely hope that they build off of it.
The reason I'm saying I think they're going to build off of it is because a heavy portion of it has come from their bottom six, and now what has to pick up is the top four, and I'm just not worried about them. Like I've seen it too many times to be worried about them, and like you have to understand, like, people are streaky. If they pick it up at the same time, oh dude, it's going to be fun to watch. But we're going to have to see. At the end of the day, we're 11-6-3. Based off how we've been playing, I'd say we're a lot more of like an 8-10-2.
But yeah, I saw a tweet the other day where it was like the Leafs are 11-6-3, but to me it feels like they're 6-11-3. What is this team doing to me?
Yeah, no, but like 100%. But I look at that in the sense where I'm like, okay, we're really in a good, like we're in a spot where we haven't played nearly the best hockey, or like we've played like very league average hockey at best. And we're
going to get to a point where all you can go is up. And again, I think the pessimism for me was because for like the last six seasons, I'm used to, you know, bad October, best November, mediocre the rest of the way. So when I don't see the best November, I'm like, okay, well, what's going on? Are they saving it for December? Maybe it's coming in January, or maybe they're just going to be not best, but really good, really good. Really good. Maybe just a more consistent, really good, instead of just leading the league in wins in 1 month.
I do think that I like seeing that we're just getting progress. It's looking kind of like a very realistic, like Microsoft stock, like where it's like it's trending up.
It's a bunch of up and downs,
but it goes down, but like overall, like after a week, it recovers that down and it's still steady going up. That's the way I look at it, where it's like compared to how we started the season to now, like, yeah, we have gotten better. There's obviously like things like effort, no matter what, you can't change that. You can't. That's just on the players. So that's like something it's not that I'm not worried about it. It's that there's nothing you can do about it. It's either you give it or you don't. And yesterday I thought they did. And I'm going to tip my hat off to it, because I will shit on them when they don't, but I will give them so in that exact regard, I do have to tip my hat when they do. And I thought they gave a pretty solid effort yesterday, and we're going to have to see how it goes up against the Kraken now coming up tomorrow. But again, we're not in a bad spot by any means. Mm-hmm. And we're in a situation where if that whole struggle turned out to be 11-6-3, we might not be in that bad of a spot as we thought we were.
That's 62 games left. Tons of games.
Oh, yeah. And who knows? I might be seeing you again Friday. I might not. We'll see. I mean, I would love to, but we'll talk about that later on. Ladies and gentlemen, that is how we are going to wrap up today's episode, Mass. Thank you very much for helping us out on today's episode. Leafs Fan MD on TikTok. The guy's a goat. He puts up straight, honest reviews on games. He even does pack openings. I've watched them. Don't think I didn't watch them.
Yeah, more coming.
But thank you very much for tuning in. And to everyone who listened to the episode, thank you very much. If you got this far, make sure to hit the subscribe button, drop a like, drop a comment. How are you feeling as a Leafs fan right now? What are you thinking? What's going on in your head? And I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with That Leafs Fan on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.